Welcome to the Quick 10 podcast, brought to you by QuickTrack, focusing on all things FedCon and cyber defense from different perspectives and different personalities, all in 10-ish minutes. Here's your host, Derek White.
Welcome back to another episode of the Quick 10 podcast. I am your host, as always, Derek White with QuickTrack, and today we have a very spicy topic here to wrap up the end of the year with a very special guest, which I'll get to in a second. But I want to make sure that everybody, as always, is able to listen to this podcast, watch this podcast, that you're aware that you can subscribe, you can set the little alert notice to know that there's a new episode out when it does come out. And if you're looking for all past and future episodes, you can also find those on our website, quicktrack.com, which is spelled quicktrac.com. And you'll see a podcast page there with all of those details. We are coming to the end of our first season at the end of the year. We have one more episode that will be coming out that I'm excited for in the next week or so. So you'll see that before the holiday season. Today, we are going to get into CMMC facility scoping when utilizing a VDI. And I'm joined today by our very own Chief Information Security Officer at QuickTrack, Dr. Jeff Baldwin. Jeff, how are you?
Doing good and getting ready for the holidays.
Yes.
Really good time.
And it's crazy. Here we are, middle of December. This month is going to go fast for everybody. And we have this little thing around CMMC hitting a major milestone date coming up here. And the biggest thing that a lot of people are trying to figure out is how do we get ready? How do we get set? What's going to change? Have I been doing this right? Et cetera. And you put out a great post on LinkedIn, which we will have in the comments below, depending on what platform you're on. Will be tagged along with this episode regarding this topic of facility scoping when utilizing a VDI solution. So it's a great post. It's your opinion. This is your background. This is your baby. This is the stuff that you've been doing for years and years and years. And I was kind of hoping that you could just kind of walk through what you mentioned in that post, starting with scoping of, you know, your security protection assets and the controlled environment aspect. Can you walk through that for the listeners and watchers right now?
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting. I've been doing this for a while. I have not been doing it as long as the mainframe days, where the current state of a VDI might look somewhat like a mainframe with all that central processing for a lot of folks. I came into the play when we were doing like the Citrix and the thin clients, and that's my first exposure to the VDIs was probably back in like 2010. But in this topic, I did think this was important to cover because I'm observing that a lot of people had been hearing or discussing this topic in a different way. So let's kind of set the framework of what this topic's really about. So with 32 CFR Part 110, the CMMC program, and within the new scoping guidances that came out from the DoD CIO, it's very clear that when you're using that endpoint that's hosting the VDI client, the actual thing connecting to the VDI cloud, that can be considered out of scope if it's configured in such a way that only keyboard, video, mouse is being received. So keyboard, video, mouse being the visual representation, the graphical representation of that CUI that's being centrally processed somewhere else. So prior to that rule, the prevailing notion was that those things should have been considered contract or risk managed assets. So contract or risk managed asset is still in scope. And you may have had some lesser security things. With the rule, we also learned that CRMA is basically also do 800-171, but have less compliance burden. So lower compliance burden, improving it when you're doing verification and validation of those requirements. Now, with that rule, though, that did come out, it basically said, no, it's not a CRMA. If you configure it that way, you can consider it out of scope. So everybody's like, yay, it's out of scope. That's a great thing. It's a great decision. However, some people then took the next logical step. And the next logical step to that is, okay, that technology asset is out of scope. So the facility that it's in there, you know, I'm inheriting the PE controls, the physical and environmental controls. I think I'm going to inherit on that device. Now that's going a little too beyond the jump, a little beyond that. So that is why I had to put this article out there, just so I could interject into some of those conversations that I've been observing, just that as a professional, I have to kind of correct that, because I don't want any organization seeking assessment or certification to go out there and get blindsided by this requirement because they thought, you know, my PE controls were inherited because it's a VDI. Now, like I was saying, in that CRMM scenario, that PE was always included. So it was just this brief moment of time since the rule, between now and the rule, from which people got a little confused on that. So for another layer of definitions that I'll go to is a different CFR, and that's 32 CFR Part 2002, which introduces that concept of a controlled environment. So a controlled environment is any space, area or space an authorized holder deems to have adequate physical or procedural controls, for example, barriers or managed access controls to prevent CUI from unauthorized access or disclosure. So key thing that they hit on that is unauthorized access or disclosure. So then we have DoD instruction 52.48, which has a sentence which is, the concept of a controlled environment means that there is sufficient internal security measures in place to prevent or detect unauthorized access to CUI. So my commentary on that is, again, while we can scope that technology asset is out of scope, the environment that you are processing and using that client in, can people walk by your screen and see what's on your screen? If so, if you have CUI in there and they're not authorized, that's now an unauthorized disclosure. So the overall context and the environment is very important. So I also looked at another definition that came from NIST, which is the environment of operation, which is defined as the physical surroundings in which an information system processes, stores, and transmits information. So your SSP for your system would have to describe the areas in which you've authorized as areas for you to access the system. So just kind of completing that first initial thought, I mentioned a few times you can scope out the technology asset. When we look at the assessment guides for CMMC, they actually say for a security protection asset, you can scope it in three ways. It's that technology, as I mentioned, or it can be a people asset, so the actual person doing the work. So those are the people you'd want to have the personnel screening on. They would have to complete all the training, follow any of the procedures that you have. And then the last of those three scoping categories is facilities. So while we can descope the technology asset, we cannot descope the people assets or the facility assets.
Which brings the importance back to why scoping your assets are important, because if it is a CUI asset versus a security protection asset, makes all the difference in the world. But I think you'll agree that the history of a lot of this stuff before scoping guidance and clearance came out on, I should say clarity came out, was the notion that, well, it's not CUI, so not my problem, right? I either inherit that from somebody, or it's not CUI, so therefore, in my own responsibility matrix, I'm not, maybe I'm the MSP, maybe I'm the customer, but I don't have it, so therefore I'm not responsible. And that's changed, which is good. But when you do inherit from external parties or tools or services that you're using versus not doing that, then shifts that responsibility. So to kind of move into what you kind of touched on a little bit ago, was the confusion then, correct me if I'm wrong, kind of runs into the FedRAMP customer responsibility matrices and what that means when using a VDI solution or path, what that means. Can you get into that a little bit, into the nuances there?
Yeah, and I think that's where some of the confusion comes into play a little bit. So it's interesting because we have FedRAMP customer responsibility matrices. And when you look at those, a lot of the times it's from the perspective of a cloud service offering. So you have a cloud service provider, it gives you a cloud service offering. And then they say, when you're using this cloud service offering, what are the things that you're responsible for versus the things that me as the CSP is responsible for? So it outlines that responsibility. So in those things, oftentimes it's kind of geared more around the risk management framework. And if you were to go after an ATO as a government agency, as a government customer. So if I'm in the FedRAMP marketplace, I have an ATO and I have a CRM there, and you're going to go use that solution. You're going to say, I'm going to use that solution and those PE controls. I'm going to inherit them for the data center and the cloud resources that are up there. And that's what the CRM says. And then I think what may have happened is a lot of vendors then have that for their FedRAMP stuff, they have to have that CRM. Then they convert that into AR-171 and they see the PEs are all inherited. So they're like, you know what? For 171, the PEs are all inherited. Now, from a cloud service offering perspective, that's all true. Now, you as an OSC or an OSA, you're going to take that cloud service offering and incorporate it into a larger system. And that larger system has other assets beyond just the cloud. So those other assets, you know, have to be worked in. So kind of that, going back to that first concept of if that VDI was out of scope and I inherit the controls, but it really comes back to, are you able to see it? And to a larger point, even beyond the electronics and the technology, is there going to be CUI conversations? So the key concept is you want to set up your controlled environment. So what is that CUI controlled environment that has the adequate protections in place to make sure that there's no unauthorized disclosures and access? So if I have a VDI and I have my laptop, can I go work in a Starbucks? Now, very likely that there will be unauthorized disclosure there when somebody looks at your screen, right? So that's probably not something you want to do. So an organization has to be responsible to figure out where are those authorized environments where they're allowed to use the technology to view and process that CUI.
So first question to always ask a Starbucks when you go in there is, are they compliant with CUI requirements?
Right. And the other thing too is like, let's say I am working on that and, you know, I did follow and I have a big purple sticker on my computer. So like now you're making yourself a target. Depending on where you're at, there might be foreign intelligence service agents that are now going to track and follow you. And you don't want to like advertise that. So number one, on the actual physical machine, if you have a big purple sticker and you're in a public place, you just made yourself a target. And or if you have a big purple warning banner on the top of your screen, people can see that. So don't work in those environments.
Don't be the guy that walks into Starbucks and says, everybody turn around, face the wall. Don't look at what I'm doing. Yeah, no, it's this obviously with remote working and all of the teleworking scenarios that have come out, which you touch on in the post as well, is key, because you can control your environments, but you're not building a CUI environment per se, per definitions of the scope. So, and I like how you kind of end everything there with, you know, just think through what you're doing, because if it works here, then it works there. But we get that a lot, right? We, the industry, get that a lot. Hey, I'm working from the holidays. It's Christmas time. I'm working from my parents' house for a week. You know, if I'm accessing data through a VDI, you can control your environment, but like you said, be clear in your SSP, clear in your policies, procedures, and how teleworking works. Make sure your users know that, proper training. You know, don't go to the library and have your screen up for everybody to see. So that's helpful. And anything, you know, this topic goes on. This piece is great. This is what we're here for. Have the conversation with us. This is why Jeff and our team are doing this day to day, week to week, as the CMMC stuff gets itself. But these are requirements that have been around, so this isn't a new thing. So we have to find that balance. Anything to end on, Jeff, to conclude before we wrap up here and send people on their way?
Yeah, since you did bring up the teleworking agreement, so obviously your facilities are defined facilities, and you can define the security for those facilities. And you can kind of view it from on an electronic level. You have your logical boundary, which is usually your firewall. So you say, here's a network diagram. I put a red box around it. Here's the entry and exit points of these firewalls. Great. You can do that same sort of exercise. You can almost take a floor plan of your, you know, building that you're in, and then do the same sort of thing. Set a red box and say, inside here is CUI, outside of that's not CUI. And then look at where's the entry exit points, and then focus your security onto a smaller environment if you want to, versus doing a whole floor or a whole building. You can actually bring the CUI physical scope down to a single room if you want to. So you can certainly do that. The other thing you mentioned was the teleworking. And my recommendation for that is to, for your alternate work site of a home office, what are your physical requirements? Let's document those things in a teleworking agreement. Have the user read, acknowledge, sign it that they're going to follow those protections. Because, you know, the thing that you're going to always say is like, oh, do I have to have, you know, a sign-in log for my home, right? And because that sounds kind of silly on the off thing. And then, like, in some cases, yes, you do need to do that. But if your teleworking agreement, you know, kind of outlines how you're setting up the CUI environment and how you're securing the CUI environment, if there was ever a case where you had somebody that was needed to be escorted or be involved in that CUI work from your home, you might want to actually have a sign-in book. So just having a sign-in book and never having a visitor is not a lot of work, right? It's only when you have a visitor you have to sign it in, and then you have to produce that, yes, I had a visitor, yes, I have a sign-in log, and I can show that if that's how we want to define the requirement to be for that organization. So that's an important piece there, is understanding how you're going to set that up. And the other thing that I think is interesting is, for me, I had another article about whether you'd have a home visit and the cage code. So if you are in HQ and your cage code is registered to your personal residence, there is a good probability that you might have some aspect of a site visit for part of a security review. Now, if you're just a regular old user, very likely that you won't, right? But if you are running, because the other thing too, most people don't know, is you need a physical address for a cage code. You can't use a PO box. You can't use a UPS store mailbox. It has to actually be a physical location. If you don't actually have an office, because you're like, you know, we're cloud first, we don't have an office, then your cage code will most likely be the owner or the CEO's home residence. And to the end there, you still want to demonstrate to an assessor, this is the controlled environment, these are the things we have in place, we can visually do that. I think there might be some flexibility when we get into the C3PO assessments, whether they want to in-scope or de-scope a site visit. We're going to get a new CMMC assessment process. I have not seen the draft of it. So that may have some additional information in there, because it might not be worth it for a C3PO to come to an office if it's, you know, home office, if it's all well documented and you're able to produce artifacts and evidence and show, here's the cameras, here's this, and you can show all that stuff without visually having it. In the current CAP draft that we have, they have a list of controls that you must do an on-site for. So meanwhile, we've had joint surveillance voluntary assessments that have been completely remote. So, and those cloud environments. So there's a little bit of the precedent, there's a little bit of the changing, there's a little bit of the flex there. Ultimately, you don't say that that facility is out of scope. That facility is in scope, it does have controls applied to it, and then you can talk and negotiate whether you need a site visit for it or not. And then the other thing with a site visit is, when you're doing a site visit, do you necessarily need to have every assessor on the assessment team come to that facility? No, most of the time it's only going to be one facility assessor, and they'll just come for a half day to check off those things on the list. And then my very last thing, one of my favorite things to say, is if it works for classified, it probably works for CUI. So under NISPALM, this may have changed recently, but they used to have two types of environments. They used to be called closed area and restricted areas. I think closed area has a new name, like open storage areas or something. I haven't followed along on that too much. But that concept of a restricted area is like a temporary thing. So how it would work is you'd close your blinds, close your office door, put up a little sign that says classified processing and process, don't come in. And then you'd take your, you know, classified equipment outside of a GSA container, put it, set it up, do your processing, shut it down, put it back in the container, lock the container, open your door back up, and then you're now in an unclassified environment again. So you can do like a temporary classified environment. So could you do a temporary CUI controlled environment? I don't theoretically see why you couldn't. So then you can really microscope, micro segment your CUI controlled environment to a temporary office sort of thing, if you have those other controls in place.
Yep.
But the main thing is, you do want to make sure that you have some sort of physical perimeter that you've set. You've set the security around that perimeter, the monitoring around that perimeter, having those controls in place.
So if they don't have, you know, let's say an OSC, an organization seeking certification or assessment, doesn't have a Jeff Baldwin, doesn't have the resources. I mean, I think this goes without saying, but I know what you're going to say, but you know, what's a good way? What's a good approach to be able to manage these things so that you don't have to, you know, hire six people to stand something up and manage something and define all that stuff from start to finish?
Yeah. So that's like the big impact of this is like, if you look at most vendors out there right now in the CMMC market space, and they have a cloud-based thing, they're going to say PE inherited, but then you have to like read the fine print. If there is fine print and it says PE inherited for cloud resources. So you still have to do something at the facilities. Then you're like, well, is it really worth having a VDI if I have to do PE on it anyways? Well, yes, because all those technical and the technology scoping is brought out of scope. So that's always a value there. But on a PE perspective, it's good things you'd want to do anyway. I know like a sign-in book for a visitor is weird. Escorting a visitor is annoying, right? But those are important things to do. When you have somebody that's unauthorized in an authorized area only that requires escort, you want to escort them. It doesn't cost money other than somebody's time to escort them around. Having them sign a piece of paper that they're signing in and out doesn't cost money or take much time. So there's little inconveniences like that. When you get into the monitoring piece, having cameras is an expense, but do you not want to have any cameras at all? And you don't have to do cameras of the whole environment. You just really need to have it at the ingress and egress point. Do you need to have a whole badge swipe system? No, not necessarily. You can have physical access devices, which could include keys and combos. So you just make sure that the authorized people have the key and the combo. Ultimately, a badge system is also a nice thing to have because you have the electronic records. But otherwise, you know, you can only control so much. And then last but not least, if we apply that concept of that temporary controlled CUI environment to a VDI session, which I don't see a reason why we wouldn't be able to do that, is essentially instead of taking something outside the safe that's classified, we just establish a CUI connection. I mean, we establish that VDI connection. Now we're doing CUI processing. We close our door, close our blinds, make sure that there's no unauthorized people around us in the room. We have procedures and training on what we're supposed to do. And then we establish that connection. Now we're doing CUI processing. As soon as we close that session, the CUI is gone. Now the environment no longer has to be quote unquote as controlled. Now, ultimately, I don't want unauthorized people, like super unauthorized, which means they don't even work for the company, having physical access to that endpoint, because then they can do physical things to it. They can insert keyloggers and other stuff that are physical. So you still want to have the protections around it. But if you have people that work for the same company and one works CUI and one doesn't, do you have some sort of mechanism where you can say, okay, well, you can't hear me talking about CUI anymore. You can't see my screen, blah, blah, blah. That would be a mechanism to do that micro segmentation of, you know, establishing a controlled environment temporarily. Now, I think most organizations, though, will probably end up having that physical perimeter saying, when you're in this suite, that it's CUI, that suite over there is not CUI, this floor is CUI, that floor is not CUI. You can establish that perimeter wherever you want to, but I do think it's very important to have a perimeter that you can describe and document and demonstrate to an assessor.
Awesome. Well, yes. Well, thank you again for spending time on this topic, and special kudos to you. You're the first internal guest on the podcast. So I actually haven't had anybody from our own team speak on any of these topics. Spoiler alert, the next episode will also be an internal guest, which I'm pretty excited about. But well, thank you again, Jeff, for this topic and for more. This is what we do. This is why we're here. If you want to talk to Jeff and our team, reach out. Quicktrack.com, as always. And again, thanks, Jeff, for the time. And yeah, if there's anything else to add, follow along on the LinkedIn post. There'll be a really good discussion topics within those comments, I'm sure, over the next couple of weeks. And for everybody else that's been listening and chiming along, for our new listeners, thank you again for listening to the Quick 10 podcast. Subscribe, hit those alert buttons and make sure you see what's coming up in the future. Jeff, thanks again. Everybody else, appreciate you listening and watching, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode, and make sure to subscribe to the Quick 10 Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and check us out on YouTube as well. For more information about QuickTrack, visit our website at www.quicktrack.com. That's C-U-I-C-K-T-R-A-C.com.